Good evening and welcome everyone. My name is Tricia Paik and it's a real pleasure to see you all gathered here this evening for our special program, the Café Concert in Art and Song, the Civilians in Performance. As many of you may know, this event has been organized in conjunction with our exhibition, Georges Seurat, The Drawings, curated by Jody Houtman. And if any of you have not seen the show yet, I do hope that you'll go upstairs sometime in the next few weeks as the show closes on January 7th. In planning this program, we are inspired by the exquisite drawings by Georges Seurat of his Café Concert performers during late 19th century Paris. And we have organized what we hope will be a fun and illuminating evening as we bring to life this unique aspect of Parisian entertainment. So before we begin, I wanted to give a brief description about the Café Concert and their importance to Parisian society. As one chronicler wrote in the mid-1880s, no people in the world are so fond of amusements as Parisians. Morning, noon, and night, summer and winter, there is always something to be seen, and a large portion of the population seems absorbed in the pursuit of pleasure. The Café Concert was one of these many pleasures offered to the public in late 19th century Paris. There were also circuses, cabarets such as the famed Chat Noir, dance halls like the Moulin de la Galette that you might be familiar with from paintings by Auguste Renoir, and also music halls, which were the successors to the Café Concerts. The Café Concerts first emerged in Paris in the 1840s and started to appear with greater number by the 1850s. They emerged in spaces such as the Bohemian Montmartre and along the grand posh boulevards of Paris, such as the Champs-Élysées. The Café Concerts were either outdoor or indoor cafes where people could gather and drink and smoke and socialize while watching or not watching the performers up on stage. And with gas lights and later electricity, these public spaces became a really important place for Parisian nightlife. As Parisians grew more accustomed to spending less and less time at home and more time outside, they in turn became public spectators, not only of these kind of performances, but of everyday life. As another contemporary observer described, to live at home, to think at home, to eat and drink at home, to love at home, to suffer at home, to die at home, we find this boring and inconvenient. We need publicity. Daylight, the street, the cabaret, the cafe, the restaurant. We like to pose, to make a spectacle of ourselves, to have a public, a gallery, witnesses to our life. During the 1860s, the Café Concerts became even more popular. By the turn of the 19th century, there were about 265 in Paris alone. And with this popularity, the beginnings of the cult of celebrity emerged with it. For example, there were the famed singers such as Aristide Bruant and Yvette Guilbert, whose names and faces you might be familiar with from posters and prints by Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec. The Café Concert continued the tradition of the French chanson. Performers sang love songs, comic ones, and some were even quite bawdy and risque. There are even songs geared to the working classes. There were other acts too, such as operetta, ballet, performances with clowns, vaudevillians, acrobats, and even, yes, you betcha, boxing kangaroos. Here at the Café Concerts, an interesting social phenomenon emerged. The varied classes of Paris found themselves mingling with each other. Unlike theaters and churches, where the people were divided by class, here the aristocracy, bourgeoisie, shopkeepers, clerks, workers, as well as prostitutes looking for some extra cash or for their own cash, all rubbed elbows, including with artists such as Toulouse-Lautrec, Seurat, and their impressionist predecessors such as Edouard Manet and Edgar Degas, and much later, important figures like Picasso during the early part of the 20th century. In fact, the upper classes found themselves wanting to go to the Café Concert, searching for what the French called encanaillement, which literally meant slumming with the common folk. And with this popularity among the common folks themselves, the Café Concerts in turn became politicized spaces. Dissent and unrest were vocalized through a number of the working class songs performed there, most notably by the famed Teresa. These undercurrents of resistance erupted in the Civil War of 1871, when working-class Parisians proclaimed the city as an autonomous socialist society, the Paris Commune. Afterwards, left-wing radicalism was quelled for almost a decade, but the government viewed the Café Concert Chansons with suspicion, as they feared they could sow more seeds of political discontent. Today, of course, we are familiar with the Café Concerts from the paintings and drawings, posters and prints by the artists I've mentioned above. But for the most part, the songs performed there has disappeared into history and are rarely performed today. And of course, as chance would have it, the Civilians, the critically acclaimed theater company, now with a great hit off-Broadway run called Gone Missing down at the Barrow Street Theater. You must go see it before it closes, I think, the beginning of January, the same week as the Seurat show. The Civilians, for the past few years, have been organizing and developing their own show of French songs, of songs that were performed during the political unrest and turmoil of the Paris Commune. Some of these songs were actually performed at the Café Concert, so it was a perfect fit to invite the Civilians, led by Steve Cosson, to perform for us this evening. They will sing a small selection of these communard songs, along with some of the lighthearted songs popularized there at the Café Concert. Some of them will be performed in English translation, so you can enjoy the meaning of the songs, and some will be performed in their original French. In order to conjure up the spirit and flavor of this time, the company will also read excerpts from contemporary writings about these intriguing public spaces. We will also show you an array of corresponding imagery by artists and illustrators of the day. We will then close a program with two songs written during the first two decades of the 20th century. But before we start the show, there are some people I would like to thank. Varenne Tessot, Laura Dickey, and Claire Elliott, who assisted in research. Janine Herman, who translated some of the original French texts. Laura Bayless, who handled the coordination of this event. Our AV staff, who remained patient with all our requests. Jody Hauptman, for her unstinting support of this program. And finally, my collaborators, Steve Cosson, founder and artistic director of the Civilians, Michael Friedman, music director and composer, and then, of course, the entire Civilians company and staff. They have worked so hard and rehearsed tirelessly. I cannot thank them enough for all of their efforts. It's been such a dream to work with them on this project. And on a little side note, I must add that this performance tonight is coincidentally well-timed because very soon there'll be a public announcement made that the Paris Commune, the civilian show, will be premiering this spring at a major theater here in New York. So please go see it. So without further ado, please help me in welcoming the Civilians.
Dabney McCabe from Paris by Sunlight and Gaslight, a work descriptive of the mysteries and miseries, the virtues, the vices, the splendors, and the crimes of the city of Paris. Published Philadelphia, 1869. A very popular species of entertainment which has sprung up within the past few years is the Café Chantant, or the Café Concert. In the summer, these amusements are held in the open air, and to the concert are added dancing and theatrical representations. The best of these establishments are in the Champs-Élysées.
Imagine a vast garden having for a roof the glittering vault of heaven. At the end by which you enter is a large building used as a café. The upper windows are provided with numerous balconies which are occupied by the most aristocratic part of the audience. At the other end of the grounds is a building fitted up as a stage. And the rest of the garden is filled with little tables and chairs for the use of the audience. There is a profusion of lamps throughout the grounds, and a flood of light streams over the spectators from the stage.
The curtain rising reveals a prettily arranged stage around which are seated a dozen or so young women, all extremely bare about the neck and shoulders. Some are pretty, but the majority is barely passably good-looking.
The performance consists of ballads, comic songs, burlesques, ballets, feats of strength, and legerdemain. The wit is broad, the ballet would be called indecent anywhere but in Paris, and the subjects of the burlesque are not always the most fitting for places so largely attended by ladies.
Some of the female performers, as I have said, are pretty, but could you pass the footlights and obtain a view closer? You would find that the paint and enamel are thick on every face.
A very few would be handsomer without these accessories, but a vast majority would be pale and haggard did they not summon these cosmetics to their assistance.
As a rule, they lead lives which soon rob them of their beauty, and as they continue to fade,
they become less useful to the establishment unless they be persons of extraordinary musical talent. Madame Auteur is quite a dame, and people talk and talk and talk and talk. Although she's in no gossip columns, she has no publicist, they talk about her just the same. She's loved by many, many men, each begs for love from her, but why? Because though she may not be pretty, she has that, well, je ne sais quoi. Madame Auteur is quite a dame, and people talk and talk and talk and talk. Although she's in no gossip columns, she has no publicist, they talk about her just the same. Madame Auteur is quite a dame, Madame Auteur is quite a dame.
Her figure wasn't much at all, her eyes so small, so small, so small, so small, but also very bright. Her nose okay, her voice not bad, her feet were white. In short, if she were to pass you, you wouldn't stop to look, but ah, around the back of this lass you would find that, well, je ne sais quoi.
Madame Auteur is quite a dame, and people talk and talk and talk and talk. Although she's in no gossip columns, she has no publicist, they talk about her just the same. Madame Auteur is quite a dame, Madame Auteur is quite a dame.
And at a dance, she was the queen. She had the charm, the charm, the charm, the charm, the charm to charm them all. You should have seen, she was the queen of every ball. Each partner took her in his arms, she danced with each of them, but ah, they loved her for her many charms, and above all, her je ne sais quoi.
Madame Auteur is quite a dame, and people talk and talk and talk and talk. Although she's in no gossip columns, she has no publicist, they talk about her just the same. What was your life each night and day to make your conquest, 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 as in vain time slipped away and you remained before your mirror like a slave? And as you looked at the facade and faced the end with little awe, you felt secure that even God would admire your je ne sais quoi. Madame Auteur is quite a dame, and people talk and talk and talk and talk. Although she's in no gossip columns, she has no publicist, they talk about her just the same. Madame Auteur is quite a dame, Madame Auteur is quite a dame.
Have a happy family, and on Bastille Day we have made plans for a trip to go and see the army marching on parade. So after breakfast is complete, we set off marching down the street. The women set off going fast, and I, the husband, going last. Each one has packed a treat, as much as we can eat. I have some baguettes and some jam. My wife, she has two sides of ham. My mother-in-law, a stew, a head of veal too. My daughter, chocolate cake, and my sister, eggs and steak.
Content and free, we march triumphantly. Our hearts are happy as we join the party. Without a care, we march in open air, to see and cheer out for our country's army. Among the crowd spread on the lawn, we find a spot where we can dine. And when our sausages are gone, then we uncork all of our wine. And with a cry of,
Vive la France!
The soldiers now start to advance. I strain to see above the pack. My wife climbs on somebody's back. We love the way they strut, the way their pants are cut. And when the army's flag unfurls, we start to scream like little girls. My mother-in-law cries out, she nearly passes out, for nothing can surpass the handsome soldiers as they pass. Content and free, we march triumphantly. Our hearts are happy as we join the party. Without a care, we march in open air to see and cheer up for our country's army. So I invite the troops along to come with us and drink some wine.
And when the bottles are all gone and all of us are feeling fine,
I am lying on the floor with two soldiers, maybe more.
I can't recall what we have done, but I remember it was fun.
My sister has the ear of one brave grenadier.
My daughter lying close between a corporal and a marine.
My mother's pitching woo to a dragoon or two.
My mother-in-law is dancing for the general of France.
Content and free, we march triumphantly. Our hearts are happy as we join the party. Without a care, we march in open air to see and cheer out for our country's army.
And heights of modern opera from the publication All the Year Round, October 1869, Paris. Monsieur Offenbach's life was advancing, and such success as artists desire appeared for him as distant as ever, when some demon whispered in his ear that there was a field yet to be trodden, because it was heretofore disdained by artists of repute. There had been coarse comic singers at the cafes, and there had been comic actors who could condescend to such coarse travesties. But never before had an artist of any real stature turned his talents to such vulgarities. And now Monsieur Offenbach's name commands Europe. The age has come for the celebration of mirth and the base excitement of prurient illusions.
Into danger you go, and the peril awaits you. So you will do what you must do. Tomorrow you will go, and I will say this to you. It's not adieu, it's not adieu, it's not adieu, but au revoir. Soldiers every will not be defeated, no. So undefeated, how I need it, how I need it, how I need it, how I need it, oh. I do not know what I would give, I do not know what I would give, oh. I love men in uniform, I love men in uniform, I love men in uniform, they weigh, they dress, it's so revealing, when they march I get a feeling, oh. I love men in uniform, I love men in uniform, I love men in uniform, the way they march I just adore, I understand what war is for, oh I just love the military, or from the front or from the side or from the back, oh I just love the military, or from the front or from the side or from the back, oh I just love the military, oh I just love the military.
There are the girls that you admire, for them the bards and poets write. Then there is the girl that you desire, she is the kind who works at night. She is the truest Parisian flower, only in dark does she start to bloom. And as she walks in the midnight hour, her pimp is hidden in the gloom. At last she spots a potential client and lures him off on the road alone. And just as he becomes compliant, then she whistles for Ramon. And suddenly, without a single warning, Ramon attacks the John with a piece of lead, of lead, of lead. He hits him on the head, gives him quite a blow, and takes his dough. It all goes by so fast. When she can do her hair up nicely to get a better clientele, she chooses street corners precisely and even checks into hotels. But soon she's back at her same old station. At 3 a.m. you can find her there, doing her best just to serve the nation, just off the public thoroughfare. And as the moon shines upon her daughter, she leads her client away alone down to a spot right by the water. Then she whistles for Ramon. And suddenly, without a single warning, Ramon attacks the John. Gives him quite a blow, and takes all of his dough. Hits him once again, then in the Seine he falls in very fast.
We shall have the Christmas hawkers selling toy models of her soon on the boulevards.
Paris has a new toy. It is a woman, and the whole gay capital is at her feet. On the boulevards, in the clubs, in the cafes, everywhere, it is one constant query. Have you heard, Gilbert? One sees her pictures, right and left, on wall and window. The boys in the streets whistle her favorite airs. The shopkeepers use her name to attract attention to their goods. There is the Yvette Guilbert hat and the Yvette Guilbert toothpaste.
And it seems but yesterday that she was obscure and unknown, save to a few night revelers, stranded in an idle moment at Montmartre. This Montmartre which has made her what she is, cadaverous and intensely modern, with a sort of bitter and deadly modernity.
Has she talent, you may ask? Sometimes, yes. Beauty? No. She is not exactly beautiful, nor exactly the reverse. She's so long and thin, so thin. Long, too long, thin arms clad in long black gloves with a bodice that always seems about to slip off her shoulders. Her enunciation is clean cut and precise. Words and sentences emerge from her carmine lips with a wonderful clearness, as though cut out with scissors.
Now to me, Yvette Guilbert was exquisite from the first moment. Exquisite. I said under my breath as I saw her come upon the stage. I felt this cold shiver run down my back, that frisson, which no dramatic art, save that of Sarah Bernhardt, had ever given me. I mean, she brings forth the real-life drama of the streets. She shows you the seamy side of life. She calls things by their right names.
Jolting through the night, clip clack, giddy up, hoopla. A cab went jolting through the night. The horse was gray, the coachman white. The blinds were drawn but could not hide. Clip clack, giddy up, hoopla. The blinds were drawn but could not hide. The sounds of kissing from inside. Leon, a woman's voice did say. Clip clack, giddy up, hoopla. Leon, a woman's voice did say. That hurts! Please take off your pince-nez. An aged gent was passing by. Clip-clop, giddy-up, hoopla. An aged gent was passing by and cried, why, I could swear that I could hear my spouse's voice somewhere. Clip-clop, giddy-up, hoopla. Could hear my spouse's voice somewhere. He rushed into the thoroughfare. His foot slipped on a pile of slush. Clip-clop, giddy-up, hoopla. His foot slipped on a pile of slush and clack! The cab turned him to mush. Clip-clop, giddy-up, hoopla. The woman left the cab and said, lucky us, my husband's dead. No more giving him the slip. Clip-clop, giddy-up. man, I do.
Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just despair, but I don't care. When he takes me in his arms, the world is bright, all right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away when I know I'll come back on my knees someday? For whatever my man is, I am his forevermore. Oh, my man, I love him so. When he takes me in his arms, the world is bright, all right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away when I know I'll come back on my knees someday? For whatever my man is, I am his forevermore.
Admiring the shadow plays of the Chat Noir, playing piano, and sometimes even leading a choir. This early song, Beausoir, is set to a text by Paul Bourget.
Chanson L'Heure Exquise was composed by Rinaldo Hahn, who was a longtime lover of Marcel Proust. Hahn's setting of the text was so successful that the poet himself, Paul Verlaine, wept upon hearing it. In translation, the white moon shines in the wood. From each branch sounds a voice under the leaves. Oh, my beloved. The reflecting pool, a deep mirror, the silhouette of a black willow where the wind weeps. Let us dream, it is time. A great and tender peace seems to descend from the firmament of the iridescent stars. It is the exquisite hour.
Chaque branche de pain.
but his eye is sly and his lips sardonic. He wears sweeping velvet garments, heavy boots, and, when he goes out, a long Inverness cape and an immensely wide-brimmed hat.
Brouant knows how to hit upon a tune that you hum all the way home and you can't get out of your head. The tune which fits the words so well that there's no telling whether the words were written for the music or the music was written for the words. He is both a profound philosopher and just a relentless observer. In the midst of the customers, Brouant circulates, calling one person by their first name, flicking a ribald epithet at another, hailing women as they enter with a saucy refrain in which everyone joins in.
He appeared in an oxblood silk shirt, a velvet jacket, and polished leather gaiters. And what he sang, with society ladies present, beggars description, it was the lyric poetry of filth, replete with scabrous epithets, words that defile the ear, superating slang, the vocabulary of vile stews and venereal whorehouses.
I don't know if I'm from Grenelle, from Montmartre or La Chapelle, from here or somewhere off the map. But I know a crowd of rushing feet first found me in a pile of crap on the street, on the street. I guess it's likely that my pa had no real intro to my ma, who'd never met my dear old dad. He was plowed and plowed her for a treat, and then she knew that she'd been had. On the street, on the street. I had no family, what of that? Just had a gang of filthy brats, no one to give me their advice. So I found a broad who walked a beat and hustled nights for a good price. On the street, on the street. She was a little blonde-haired tease with a mouth like the Mona Lisa, nice behind and tits with class. She'd taken every man she'd meet like some old statue, flashing ass. On the street, on the street. And so we made our way along until one day it all went wrong. They threw her in a prison cell, and she was gone to take the heat, and I was left to buy and sell. On the street, on the street. And so you tell me find a job like you, the educated mob, but I was never even taught. You know, I'll steal or kill to eat, and I'll be free. I won't get caught. On the street, on the street. But damn it all, long live the poor, long live the crooks, long live the whores. I know our time will come at last. One day that crowd of rushing feet will come to see my neck go fast. On the street, on the street.
It's enough to see Mademoiselle Teresa, to recognize her, in her, a child of the people. She has that sort of virility that is the share of both sexes in the lower strata of the population. Her charm is that of force.
There is much expression in the eyes, an ensemble that is not at all unpleasant, and sometimes gestures of an elegance that contrasts with the vulgarity and sometimes overly free tone of her lyric repertoire.
December 4th, 1883. My dear Leroux, go quickly to hear Teresa at the Alcazar. She opens her big mouth and out comes the most coarsely, delicately, spiritually tender voice there is. And the soul and taste, where could one find anything better? It's wonderful. In any case, see you Thursday at my musician's house. Sincerely, Edgar Degas.
Thank you.
that they do. And when they sing in groups of three, they're happy for the company. They sit and chatter happily. Quack, 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 quack. And if you're quiet, you will see them sing. Yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hee-hoo. Yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hee-hee-hoo. But when a little duck is left alone, he sings a sad and plaintive tone. He works all night and rots his brain. His life is meaningless and vain. And you can hear his sad refrain. Quack, 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 quack. And if you're quiet, and only a love song can soothe his pain, and they sing, yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hoo, yodel-a-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hoo.
Another song about ducks. Apparently they were very popular at the Café Concert. Emmanuel Chabrier used a villanelle for the text, a 19-line poem consisting of 5 tercets and a final quatrain on 2 rhymes. Hence the title, Villanelle of the Little Ducks.
You want les petits canards tout au bord de la rivière, comme de bons campagnards. Barboteurs et frétillards, heureux de troubler vos clairs, ils vont, les petits canards. Ils semblent un peu jobards, mais ils sont à leur affaire, comme de bons campagnards. Dans l'eau pleine de tétards, où tremble une herbe légère, ils vont, les petits canards, marchant par groupes et pares, d'une allure régulière, comme de bons canards. Barboteurs et frétillards, heureux de troubler l'eau claire, ils vont, les petits canards, et quoique peu cogards, ils sont tout de même débonnaires, comme de bons campagnards. Faisons en sac à bavard un vrai bris de pétaudière. Ils vont, les petits canards, gaudus, lustres et gaillards, ils sont gais à leur manière, comme de bons campagnards. Amour in Asia, chacun avec sa commère. Ils vont, les petits canards, comme de bons campagnards.
The star is approaching. It's Madame Bordas with her wind-blown hair coming to sing the most belligerent songs. Could I tell you that these works could be sung in the salons of high society? No. Especially when, fists tightened and eyes haggard, she advocated la canaille, meaning the scum, the riffraff whose refrain was, j'en suis, I'm one, I'm one. Well, good for her. I'm not one, and I will defend myself from them like the devil. But the audience in the place applauded with enthusiasm. It was a real democratic stamping of feet. Everyone seemed to say, me too, I'm one, I'm one.
Mm-hmm.
deep in its soul, a raging fire that burns the flesh from body torn, all of its children born in slums. And if you see them, I think you'll know why. They are the lowest scum. But so am I. Not the criminals from prison. These are the honest working men who every morning have arisen to work with hammer or with pen. They are the fathers earning crumbs, slaving away till the day that they die. They are the lowest scum. But so am I. It's the man whose body is thin, with sunken eyes and dirty face, whose shaking hands and hardened skin come from some dark, unheard of place. And as he passes you, he hums.
Introduction to the Civil War in France by Karl Marx. Whatever may be the incidence of Louis Bonaparte's war with Prussia, the death knell of the Second Empire has already sounded at Paris. It will end as it began, by a parody. But let us not forget that it is the governments and the ruling classes of Europe who enabled Louis Bonaparte to play, during 18 years, the ferocious farce of the restored empire.
They like to watch their whiskers grow and play with their swords and medals there and there and there. But all of this is just for show, 'cause really in truth there's nothing there, nothing there. They're such important men, you know, who like to keep their skin so soft and bare, soft and bare. One day their sword will hurt them so, they'll have to make a battle to be fair. They're very fair. Voila, sir has no fucking clue who likes to play it more. So we'll show them what to do, just take it up the ass some more. Our leaders have no fucking clue, they only hate the poor. So we'll show them what to do, just get a fucking clue. See them as they pass the buck, pass the buck, pass the buck, till all hope for war to end is trampled in the muck.
Franco-Prussian War. And in the wake of this chaos, France erupted into civil war. A spontaneous revolution broke out in Paris, and a new working class government, the Paris Commune, declared itself a new autonomous society. The Commune was violently defeated 72 days later, with tens of thousands of Parisians massacred in the streets by the French army. But while it lasted,
the commune attempted to reinvent nearly every aspect of modern society, from labor to politics to religion. This is from a statement by Communard Henri Rochefort. Our eternal creed will be that as Jesus Christ was born in a stable, the only treasure that Notre Dame ought to possess is a truss of straw. As to the sacred vases studded with emeralds, we do not hesitate to declare them national property, from the simple reason that they are derived from the generosity of those to whom the church promised paradise, and that an assurance of imaginary blessings given to extort money or articles of value is designated in all legal codes as swindling.
Jealous God, can you hear me, you who drive your children to drink? It is time, you useless old fogey, that I tell you just what I think. Your heaven and hell no more than lies, which make free thinkers all want to choke. Good God of the bigots, you're nothing but a joke. God of all the bigots, you are just a joke. Everybody, good God of the bigots, you're nothing but a joke. God of all the bigots, you are just a joke. All the bishops grease your paw, and the thieves always give you half. Old St. Peter lays down the law when we question your golden calf. Of all the evil empires, you are the greediest one in the book. Good God of the vampires, you're nothing but a crook. God of all the vampires, you are just a crook. Everybody! Good God of the vampires, you're nothing but a crook. God of all the vampires, you are just a crook.
This song was written by Communard Jean-Baptiste Clément after the very bloody defeat of the Commune. They hunt, they capture, and they kill anyone blocks their way. Mothers and daughters standing still, old men and children with nothing to say. Misery pours from every door, turning the happy streets to mud. All of the fashion turned to war, and the streets are all paved with blood. And yet, shake off that bitter tune, these dreadful days will have an end. Revenge is coming soon, when all the poor will rise again, again. When the poor will rise again. No one is here. Soldiers and thieves, streets are all empty, dark and bleak. One sad old woman weeps and grieves. Widows and orphans barely speak. Men from the bank, men from the streets, lovers and girls and men with guns. See them like flies rotten meat over the bodies of fallen ones. And yet, shake. take off that bitter tune. These dreadful days will have an end. Revenge is coming soon, when all the poor will rise again, again.
This ruined land, and still this blood runs black and red. Ah, yes, you understand. A gallant man, and one, they say, who never fled from danger's way. And his name is Martin. Soldier, have you seen him? He's my man. Is there some moral here at least? And for what comfort can I seek? They worked him like some nameless beast. 6 days in every week, his heart is planted firm and true, and oh, his shoulders close to you. And his name is Martin. Soldier, have you seen him? He's my man. For 12 years now, this man I've known, he hasn't changed, not to this day. 6 healthy children in our home, and one more on the way. So what am I to say to them if he does not come home again? And his name is Martin. Soldier, have you seen him? He's my man.
J.K. Weisman from Parisian Sketches. As far as the folie is concerned, there are two types of waltzes. One twirling and joyous, expressing the poise of the trapeze, the amazing somersaults of the acrobats, the rhythm of a body that raises and lowers itself by the strength of its own arms, sways, held on by its legs, then up again, the arms taking the place of the feet, which beat the air with their chalk-dusted shoes. The other, morbidly voluptuous, displaying the bloodshot eyes and trembling hands of those caught in flagrante delicto, of debaucheries aborted in full flow for lack of stamina, of bodies contorted and expectant, ending at last with the triumphant clash of cymbals and brasses in the cry of pain and joy of the climax.
Here one must have rotten, uncouth music, something that envelops with vulgar caresses, with street kisses, the chatter of those who have dined copiously and expensively, people dragging into this theater promenade their worries about scams that might turn out badly, uneasy about their dubious dealings in shares and in women, but cheered by the high spirits of fraudsters whose tricks have come off and who get tipsy with painted women to the sound of loudish music.
They are truly girls who are beyond compare, with their caps on just so and their noses in the air. And they go about with certain gentlemen who can give a loan or something now and then.
everywhere, the streets, the avenues. And if on the street they sometimes crowd in front of you, you have to understand, it's just the way they planned. They are an army now, so let's give them a hand. Here they are, take a peek at the young girls of Paris. Rain or shine, never meek, always happy as can be. See their clothes, always chic, hear them whistling with glee. Bravo to the girls, the young girls of Paris. Bravo to the girls, the young girls of Paris.
Oui, Brésilien. J'ai de l'or. I am Brazilian. I have gold. From Monsieur Offenbach's La Vie Parisienne, we have a hedonist's manifesto. My ardent declaration that in spite of having been bankrupt twice during wild sprees in Paris, I'm back and ready for more.
De voir, je suis venu déjà, j'avais de l'or dans ma valise, des diamants dans ma chemise, combien a duré tout cela, le temps de moins de cent amis et d'aimer quatre ou cinq maîtresses, six mois de galanteuse ivresse, et puis Paris, Paris, en six mois tu m'as tout rappelé, et puis vers ma jeune Amérique, tu m'as prouvé mélancolique, délicate, me remballé, mais je brûlais de devenir, et là-bas sous mon ciel sauvage, je me répétais avec l'âge, une autre fois tu mourrais, je ne suis pas mon j'ai gagné tant bien que ma vie semble folle. Et je viens pas que tu me voles tout ce que là-bas j'ai volé. Tout ce que là-bas j'ai volé. Tout ce que là-bas j'ai volé. Ah, je suis brésilien, j'ai de l'or et j'arrive de Rio de Janeiro. Plein d'échanges aujourd'hui qu'on a guère. Paris, je te reviens encore. Je suis brésilien, j'ai de l'or et j'arrive de Rio de Janeiro. Paris, 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 je te reviens encore. Sur le vélo de ma vaisselle, avec des allures de naine, un gros bouquet de lilas blanc, c'est le doigt loin pour les décales. En un instant, j'ajoute une seule et va cherchant de star en star. Le succès, c'est la seconde qui pleine de chic. Mes indigents au fond de la loge se cachent et dit ton mort dans sa moustache. Au diable, trouver de l'argent, de l'argent, de l'argent. Moi, j'en ai. Venez, 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 venez. Nous le mangerons, mes poulettes, venez manger l'argent, mes poulettes. Puis après, je ferai des dettes, tendez vos dommages et prenez, prenez, tendez vos dommages et prenez, prenez, tendez vos dommages et prenez, tendez vos dommages et prenez, prenez. Vous avez des bijoux, des toilettes, venez vous moquer des coquines et coquettes. Ça c'est le bien seulement, car c'est la malature. J'en prenais pour mon argent, je vous le jure. J'en prenais pour mon argent, j'en prenais pour mon argent. Venez, venez, venez.
figures are given a matchless nobility in their unmannered poses. The female body is seen in all its luminosity and true lines. A hieratic quality animates the models and lends them the simplicity and majesty of ancient art.
André Chardon from Le Café Concert, published in Paris, 1889. The Concert Parisien in the neighborhood of Saint-Denis is long, strangled. Therefore, it's hard to circulate and to see. Moreover, those in attendance offer so many contrasts. While dandies and tarts sachet and jiggle in the baths, the back of the room and the upper galleries overflow with a cheeky population of shop clerks and workers.
From Eric Satie to his brother, 1907. What have I been doing all this time?
Miracles, my old friend. So many things have happened to me that I don't know where I stand. You know that I've composed Café Concert music? I gave this sort of music up long ago. That was no field for me to be working in. It's more stupid and dirty than anything. That's life, my friend. It's total nonsense.
From the singer Paulette Darty, also known as the Queen of the Slow Waltz. Usually I received composers in the morning who came to present their new tunes to me. That morning I was resting when an unfamiliar name was announced. Monsieur Eric Satie. Suddenly, I heard the waltz Je Te Veux, which is now famous. It was so particularly charming and so pretty that I hastily slipped on a dressing gown and went to tell Monsieur Satie how delighted I was. He sat down again at the piano, and I sang Je Te Veux for the first time. Oh, no one could be bored when Satie came around.
J'ai compris ta détresse, cher amoureux, et je sais de tes voix, fais de moi ta maîtresse. Loin de nous la sagesse, plus de tristesse.
October 1911, Henry Fragson's song Dernière Chanson premiered at the Music Hall in Paris. The song became a hit. Picasso, who loved the song, took one of the popular phrases from it, Ma Jolie, and painted it at the bottom of one of his cubist paintings on view upstairs. It also became a pet name for his new lover, Ava.
Twilight hues in all their glory creep o'er the soft summer sky. Fireflies gleaming dimly showing twilight soon to dusk is growing. Evening breezes touch the rustling leaves with their first gentle sigh. In the dawning of this night of love, waiting here, dear, am I. Sweetheart, ma jolie, an angel from above. Listen to the gypsy music soar. It's a song of love, it's a song of love. This music set before you, forever playing strong. Try to sing along, try to sing along. This will be our final love song. Oh, sweetheart, ma jolie, an angel from above. Listen to the gypsy music soar. It's a song of love, it's a song of love.